Now, we all know that sometimes you just have a problem with yourself, whether it be your physical features, whether it be your mental makeup. Let's face it, we all suffer from what I call self-hate. If you suffer from self-hate, check out my new book. My name is Dan, and I'm here to help you. I am the author of How to Safely Self-Hate Within the Confines of Your Own Home. So some of the secrets I share in this book are things like masturbating until you get to the point of an orgasm and stopping before the orgasm happens. That is the number one form of self-hate. Pick up my book, How to Safely Self-Hate Within the Confines of Your Own Home, where I share numerous tips on how you can hate yourself and it not affect anybody else. Again, check it out, As Seen on TV, How to Safely Self-Hate in the Confines of Your Own Home. Available on Amazon Books and Audible. Welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legal Lies. My name is Dan. I am one of your hosts. You can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show across all social media platforms at Black Law Podcast. And please stop tagging us as a true crime podcast. We are not a true crime podcast. You know, for the past couple of weeks, we keep getting tagged in these Twitter posts talking about some hashtag true crime podcast hosted by black hosts. Like, yo, if you're going to tag us, you don't even have to listen to the podcast. Read our fucking Twitter page. We are not true
pain.
True crime, man. That shit, it's like, motherfucker just want to jump on the bandwagon. It's like, yeah, we like black people now.
Oh,
like,
geez. That actually is in line with
exactly
some stuff that I wanted to talk about. But first, let me say, since you put your plug in.
Who are you?
For your crazy ass, people know me. Book.
Obviously not if they're saying we're a true crime podcast.
I'm just saying, and you can follow me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies. And this episode is brought to you by Sippin' with Storm. She's a mobile bartender. You can follow her on IG at sipping_with_storm or on Facebook, Sipping with Storm. Great.
So tell me, what's in
custom?
It?
I have no clue, but it's damn good. It's called the Peach Teeny. It is really, really good.
Why is it so red? Isn't peach supposed to be peach?
Well, no, not if it's it doesn't have preservatives. Or I'm sorry, red dye number 5. No, I don't know. I don't think this has anything red dye-ish in it, but peach, it's peach flavored, which is why it's called Peach Teeny. Very good.
Shout out to Sipping with Storm, man. I mean, I'm not an alcohol type of person. But judging by the packaging, the presentation, I mean, we did cover this a few episodes ago, talking about our people and the presentation of their product.
And legitimizing your business.
Well, speaking of flavors, right? There is a ban coming up on vaping. Like New York State has already enacted their ban on flavored e-juices and online buying of e-juice, a couple other
why
states.
Dan is about to blow himself up.
So basically what it boils down to is vaping's been around for over a decade now, and it has been proven to be the number one smoking cessation device. So number one smoking cessation device has the highest rate of getting people to stop smoking. So what it's doing is it's cutting into big tobacco's pockets. So for those of you who do smoke, a pack of cigarettes back when I smoked was like $2 and some change, $3.
It's almost $4 now.
Guess again.
What?
$8.
For a pack?
A pack of cigarettes are like
serious?
$8.
Are you serious? Serious?
100%. You got your internets in front of you. $8. That is ridiculous. So anyway, what they're doing under the guise of trying to protect our children from these these products that are marketed towards them because they have flavors like cereal flavors, mint flavors, menthol flavors, whatever, whatever. They're trying to use that as a reason to ban it.
$5.54.
For what brand? What brand? Because niggas smoking Newports. Niggas smoke, white folks smoking Marlboro.
$7.75 in Maryland.
Look up New York. Look up a pack of Newports in New York. That's just like $14. Either way, they're banning vaping because they're saying they want to protect our youth and these products are being marketed towards the youth. That's just not true.
Good Lord. Average cost of a pack of cigarettes in New York, $12.85.
Yeah. And that's cheap. $12.85 is cheap in New York. Man. I know people who are smokers that leave New York. They go to surrounding states, buy cartons of cigarettes, go back to New York.
And
but
come up, huh?
What's crazy is, you know, the charge you will catch for that shit.
Oh, hell yeah. Same charge when you go across five states
with, and get weed.
With federally Schedule I drugs.
Right. So anyway, I just say all that to say that vaping indeed has helped me. It did help me quit cigarettes, which are, again, proven to have all kinds of carcinogens in them.
Right. But if you're vaping nicotine,
mm-hmm.
is it not the same thing?
It's nowhere near the same thing. So, for instance, if you
nicotine
were...
Nicotine is a carcinogen.
Nicotine is not a carcinogen.
Hey.
So, if you were to chew a piece of nicotine gum...
Nicorette.
If you were to put a nicotine patch on your arm,
mm-hmm.
it is like 99.89% safer than smoking a combustible tobacco product.
Correct. So nicotine, when it is...
No, it's not the nicotine.
Combusted.
It is not the nicotine. See, and that's, again, the problem is people's misunderstanding or their desire to want to understand something
Man,
new.
I don't want to understand.
Exactly.
I can tell
by your line of questioning and by your off-color comments.
Oh, I'm off-color?
Yes. So anyway, I just wanted to say that it's bullshit. It's the tobacco companies, much like the pharmaceutical companies do. They issue these things. FDA issued what are called PMTAs, pre-market tobacco applications. In order to sell any type of cigarette, tobacco, or e-cigarette product, you need to fill out this application, which costs hundreds of thousands of dollars per thing you want to sell. So things like the nicotine e-juice, the vape devices, the vape tanks, the vape coils, hardware, things like that. You need an application for each one, which can range from $100,000 to $300,000. Basically, all these shops are closing down. And during this pandemic, there's been a surge in smokers and people turning to traditional cigarettes, which are, again, proven to be more harmful. Marlboro has seen a 5% increase in revenue and sales. And there's a few other things reported, but it's fucked up when you find something that works, that helps, and yeah, we're just gonna ban it because most people don't understand it, much like the illnesses, the lung diseases that were going around from people buying the black market THC, black market weed, weed vapes that have a thinning agent in them called vitamin E acetone. That's what was causing people to have lung disease, but they threw an umbrella on it and said vaping caused it. So anyway, just want to say that's fucked up. They're getting rid of something that actually helps people. I'm lucky to be one of the people that it helped during the time that it was available. But now we're going to start seeing an uptick in teens smoking cigarettes because, like, think about it seriously. If you're worried about teens and nicotine, right? Why not ban cigarettes too? Why not ban nicotine gum, Nicorette?
Because it's not about it. It's the way that the nicotine is ingested. It's not particularly the nicotine itself. It's the fire. It's the fire and the way that it's the heat and the way that it causes it to metabolize.
So next, genocide. Do you think it would be fair to charge our current sitting president with genocide.
Why?
For his COVID-19 response.
So would it have been fair to charge George Bush with genocide for his Katrina response?
No.
Okay.
So answer the question.
I did.
No, you asked me a question.
No, I actually answered the question because I provided a similar situation. People died in Katrina because of George Bush's
response. You think response. That Katrina can no. be directly compared what to I a said, global pandemic?
What I said was mm-hmm. George Bush was the president of the United States when Katrina happened, and his response.
Did he not say leave? Did the city government not say leave? Did the governor not say leave?
His response after the disaster mm-hmm. caused people to die.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's just untrue.
Yes.
That is untrue.
No, it is very true. Do your research.
That I don't need to. I was
do
here.
Do your research.
Were you here for Katrina?
Yes.
You stayed?
You didn't stay.
Yes, I did.
Sure you did.
I stayed.
But anyway.
Kenner, Louisiana. As,
like I said, you didn't stay. You don't even live in New Orleans, but.
Kenner, Louisiana. So, I just said that.
So his response caused many people in New Orleans to die.
Their responses caused them to die.
Well, a lot of people's responses to COVID-19 are causing them to die.
Because they are getting their information from.
Okay, but they are grown people who should have sense.
But they are also listening to the commander in chief.
Wait, so by your estimation, because the people in New Orleans that stayed in New Orleans wasn't listening, mm-hmm. they caused their own death.
Yes.
Well, by that logic, people can look up alternate facts if they want to.
No such thing. The U.S. is approaching 170,000 deaths from
Correct.
COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that just in from CNN. So
right.
I would say 80% of the lives lost fall directly on the Trump administration because early on, as we talked about, it was a hoax by the Democrats. Second one was just wait till it gets warm and it'll just, I think, quote, miraculously disappear.
Mm-hmm. And this is the same person that told you to ingest bleach or Lysol.
And the Lysol.
Correct.
And
but
then,
yet,
wait, there's more.
Yet.
The masks. The masks are silly. And I don't remember the quote on this, but you don't have to wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, mm-hmm. you don't have to wear a mask. Correct. So do you have sense? Do I?
You have sense, right?
Are you telling me?
No, I'm asking.
I'm asking too.
That's my question. Do you have sense?
I don't
Sometimes know. Sometimes you don't. But as far as coronavirus goes and the wearing of masks and the being 6 feet apart mm-hmm. and other social distancing practices.
I don't wear masks.
So my question to you, though, is
mm-hmm.
when you go out in public, do you go to a grocery store?
No.
Correct. So you don't wear a mask because you're not going out in public places.
But I do go to bars and nightclubs.
No, you don't.
I do.
No. But
check my Instagram. I was live at the strip club, Larry Flint's Hustler Club.
If you are.
Strippers came out looking like welders.
If you are a cogent adult and you choose to listen to Donald Trump, then you've basically sealed and signed your own death warrant.
Okay. Let me just give you a quick little situation here, right? So are you adhering to the mask, the social distancing and whatever? Okay. So one of these Donald Trump supporters, the people who are visceral about wearing masks, who equate it to a loss of their freedom and being oppressed, they go out, they catch it, right? Mm-hmm. They just had the motorcycle thing in Sturgis mm-hmm. a couple weeks mm-hmm. ago. They catch it. Okay, you minding your business, right? And somehow you cross paths. They come into your place of business that you're working at. And you catch the shit, mask or not. You catch the shit. So you are okay with that situation.
I'm sorry, say again.
You catch COVID from one of the people who, as you say, don't have any sense. Just because they don't have any sense. It doesn't just affect them. It affects everybody.
But you're asking me, am I okay? But if I am practicing.
Right.
If I am being safe.
Mm-hmm. And you still catch it.
How would I catch it from them if mm-hmm. I am being safe myself?
It is more than possible. There, I actually have a sister. She's wearing masks. She has the glass shield up in front of her. She works at a pharmacy. She caught it at work. She was doing everything right. Was there people in her store that were not wearing masks, customers, before the mask mandate? Yes.
Right.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
But
do you wear masks at home?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have more than one person in the house with you?
I do.
Okay. So let's say they go out. Mm-hmm. They might want to walk the cat or
walk the dog.
Whatever the hell they do.
They walk the dog.
They catch it from talking to a neighbor and then bring it back in the house.
What I'm saying is it
does not just affect the one person who, as you said, has no sense.
Absolutely right. So, but your question was, should he be tried for genocide?
Yeah. Should he be charged with genocide? Because I think 250,000 deaths is what we're probably going to be looking at by the
year's
end.
Maybe more. Mm-hmm.
That's just unacceptable.
So once again, why would he be charged with genocide?
Because this falls, his response and the lies, I was going to call them mistruths, but they're just straight out lies that he's telling the American people are causing them to be comfortable, complacent, and they are still going out.
But like you're always saying, you have to accept responsibilities for your actions. You are always the one that's talking about people and their actions and accepting the consequences of their actions.
Okay, so your action, you're being safe, you're going to work, you're wearing your mask, you come home, and a family member gives it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's your actions.
Mm-hmm. But once again, if I am listening to Donald Trump, I am listening in spite of the fact that there is ample evidence that Donald Trump is an ass. That's just like people who listen to Jim Jones. That's just like people who listen.
Those people aren't affecting otherwise.
And they did. They did affect other people because there are people who are not a part of Jim Jones's organization that died.
How would that affect my mother, let's say?
But here's my issue.
How could it affect my mother?
If you are an adult and you decide that you want to pay attention to what the president is saying and you want to live free
mm-hmm.
or die
and spread it to others who are not following the same.
So why mm-hmm. is that a Donald Trump thing though? Why would he be tried for genocide when it's not him? It's the information he's giving to people. There's alternatives. There's alternate information that I'm choosing not to listen to.
Okay, so you.
So it is not.
You
it
believe,
is not.
Dr. Stella Emanuel. That's alternate.
Well, guess what? Dr. Fauci is as well, and Dr. Deborah Birx is as well. So
the head
of the CDC is as well. What you choose to listen to and how you behave in response to that is your issue.
All right. So you're moving the goalpost here. So
I'm not moving anything.
Deaths in America fall directly onto our commander in chief, who had Dr. Birx. He had all of the doctors, all of the scientists. He picks and chooses what he wants to believe mm-hmm. and what he wants to share with the American people.
And people pick and choose what they want to believe as well.
Well, the thing is, you should not have to do that.
It's a free country.
Right. But you should not have to do that when you are listening to the president of the United States about a global pandemic. And we are, 5 million plus cases right now. We're doing the mm-hmm. worst in the world, the
correct.
Absolute
that
worst.
That is correct. And that is because
so that falls directly on
our
leadership.
We live in a free country.
Other countries are free too.
We don't have, no, there's a lot of countries who aren't.
Europe is not free.
We live in
New Zealand is not free.
We live in the country
Switzerland
where
is not
we
free.
Can do whatever the hell we want. And
so
because,
we can murder people?
Because we can, yep, we face consequences. We do that.
No, you're picking
because,
the wrong hill no, to die on.
No, no, no,
you're
no,
picking
no.
the wrong hill to die
no, I'm
on.
Not. I'm not dying on a hill because here's the thing. We live in a land that are, it's ruled by laws. And the law says that we can't murder people. Yet, as you like to say, at one point, New Orleans was the murder capital of the country.
It it's is because every year.
Because people pick and choose what they want to do. We are autonomous. So because we are autonomous and we can do what we want to do and we don't live in a dictatorship and we are not.
We do live in a dictatorship.
No, we don't.
Donald Trump is the exact definition of a dictator.
We don't live in a dictatorship. We can do what we want to do, how we want to do it. And guess what? People are choosing to listen to what Donald Trump has to say. And that is not his fault. That is that they have to accept personal responsibility for that.
Not it at is, all.
Yes.
Well, I'm, you personally I'm glad you
are responsible.
I'm glad you're defending Trump because that's a first.
I am not defending. I'm not defending Donald Trump. Do not.
That is exactly.
That is not what I'm doing.
That is. Well, let the listeners decide. Listeners, you decide.
Please decide. I'm not defending Donald Trump. You asked me if I believe that he should be tried or if he is guilty of genocide. And what I told you is.
You start bringing up irrelevant stuff. Katrina, New Orleans, murder capital.
Nope.
That has nothing to do with the question.
That is not. The question is.
It's a simple question.
And it was. And I gave you the answer. But what I did was provide alternate views.
No. I don't listen to alternate views.
Because if Donald Trump is guilty of genocide, so was George Bush. Because his response, because you're talking about his response to the pandemic, Bush's response to Hurricane Katrina.
Not at
people,
all.
People decide if they want to listen.
You're comparing apples to oranges.
I'm not.
You cannot compare a natural disaster where every possible
had the ability to leave and yet you stayed.
Every government agency said, get the hell out of there.
You're right.
So what Donald Trump do? It is a hoax.
Get out.
It's a plot by the Democrats.
This is why I can't compare them.
They're not comparable.
Yes, they are. Because government agencies say to get out.
So can Hurricane Katrina be compared to a school shooting?
You decided to stay.
Can it be Hurricane Katrina be compared to a school shooting?
That is not a natural disaster.
Why not? Are people not natural?
It's not a natural disaster.
Are people not natural?
That is a deliberate action by someone, which is what I'm saying. We have laws against
mentally ill,
murder.
Right?
We have laws against murder.
They're often mentally ill, right?
We have laws against murder, right?
The school shooters are often mentally ill.
We have laws against murder, right?
It is natural for someone who is mentally ill.
We have laws against murder, right?
Ladies and gentlemen.
And they chose
to shoot. That is diamond and silk in the fucking flesh, ladies and gentlemen.
Never.
Diamond and silk.
Anyway, as I said, if you choose to listen to garbage.
Not everybody knows that it's garbage.
If you choose to listen,
everybody
does know it's garbage.
No.
You just said, you have said before that people shouldn't listen to Donald Trump, but you can't understand why people listen to what he says.
That's correct, but everybody
So how now can you say that
better?
Not everybody knows that it's garbage?
When you have people still questioning whether or not Barack Obama is a U.S. citizen. In 2020, after he served his two terms and his predecessor had served his two terms. If you still on that and you still believe that, you don't know any better.
No, you do know better. The thing is,
a lot
what
of these
I believe,
people are dumb hillbilly hicks.
But you know what? The majority of people who actually support Donald Trump, college educated. They're not dumb. They're not dumb.
Last episode, you just literally called dumb.
You called them dumb.
No. See?
You rolled it back.
You
called them dumb as well. So you didn't call them dumb.
So I did not.
You did not call them dumb.
I did not.
Okay, we go listen and say.
We
definitely go listen
every
and
week,
say.
Every Tuesday, new episode. So
as I said.
Anyway, the reason I brought that up is.
If you choose to listen to him,
I believe
your fault.
That he should be prosecuted for his part in the global pandemic. Because of him, it spread even more when we could have shut the entire country down like many other free countries have done. And they're doing much better.
They didn't do it. There are a lot of countries who didn't shut down. England didn't shut down until way after we did.
And they're still doing better than us.
But the problem is it's people. It's not him.
Is he not a person?
It's people.
Is he not a
person? Are his followers not people?
I don't consider them to be, no.
Mm, just like you consider them to be dumb.
I would never call anybody dumb.
And you call them dumb.
So, speaking of dumb, Kamala Harris.
Her name is Kamala.
Her name is Kamala because you know what? I identify with my black sister.
And
you know, sister.
And that's the problem. That is the problem. Her name is Kamala.
Look, I know her personally.
Yeah, sure you do.
And that me and Kamala go way back.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we brought up on the last episode is how black women have it harder, in especially in the workforce or in politics, right? Since announcing his VP running mate, have you heard anything bad about Joe Biden? Let's say in the news cycle over the past week.
Have I heard anything?
Yeah.
All right, going on. They're calling him back.
It seems to me that ever since announcing his VP candidate, everything has shifted and no one's attacking Joe anymore. They're all jumping on Kamala.
Kamala would, I mean, historically, your VP is your bulldog. So you attack the attacker. Her role is to attack. So
I'm seeing all of the pundits now switching gears and they're attacking her. And some of the attacks, most of the attacks that I've seen, they're not necessarily about her policies, her politics, or anything that she's done, I guess, professionally. So a lot of the criticism that I'm seeing is, and you hear this a lot, one being a woman, two being a black woman, is who she's sleeping with, how she slept her way to the top.
All right. Is this from media people or yes, from everyday Jews?
Both, actually. How she was fucking when she was 30, she was fucking a dude that was 60. He was like a judge or some shit. I didn't pay too much attention, but there's pictures of her now with him circulating, how her grandfather was a slave owner in Jamaica. What was his name? Harrison or some shit.
100%. And the reason why they can do that. But I mean, you think about it, that's anybody who is in politics or entertainment or anything of that nature. Your whole life is free game. There's nothing off limits. Your children, your husband, everybody. I mean, what they're doing is not new.
No, but what they're doing is, because it's a black woman, much like when Barack Obama was running for president,
it was
more disrespectful, questioning their birthplaces. That's, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only time I have ever heard that at any time as far as a presidential candidate, Barack Obama, and now Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
So, and what's crazy is they've infiltrated the black community. And this is what bothers me more than anything. White people going white. That's what they do. But they're infiltrating our community they tried this with Obama. It didn't work. But it's actually working now with Kamala because she's a black woman. And that is, she's not really black, you know. She's not African American. I mean, she's Jamaican and what's it? Indian. She's Jamaican, and so she's not really a African American. And now that's all you see is the Hotep niggas and these other motherfuckers post, well, she ain't black. She ain't black. See, if he wanted to pick a running mate that's black, he should have picked X, Y, and Z. See, he's just trying to use her, and she's not even black, to get the black votes. And like, seriously,
they did that to some degree with Barack Obama as well.
Yeah, as hard as they're going at her.
But
this is just the first week.
But this is always, if you think about it, that is not anything new. That is in the black community. That is a big issue, a big problem that we have. We have what I've always called crab mentality. You can't see somebody doing well. You always have to try to cut them down because it's why they think they better than us. They not better than us. And what better way than to cut somebody down is to doubt their blackness. So, I mean, or doubt their identity.
What
and how they identify
as black people. Now, you would think that regardless, a person of color, regardless, that we would be empathetic to who they are, right?
Man,
you would think.
Who? Why?
You would think.
Why? I never think that, because once again, our history says something different.
I want black people to win. That's bottom line. I don't care.
Our history says something different.
I want black people. I want minorities to win. And I would personally, and I'm only speaking for myself now, I would never go out of my way to try to discredit a person of color, especially when it comes to their ancestry. You saw how long Rachel Dolezal got away with the shit, right? Because no one fucking questioned it. But it's like now, okay, it starts with the H. I forget his name, her grandfather. But he was a slave owner in Jamaica. You know, she was born elsewhere. She's a, something to the effect of her vagina.
Wait, they talking about a vagina, what?
It is, I can't remember the exact quote, but it is.
Wait, it was a literal
capital,
vagina.
Yeah.
Quote. They said vagina.
Yeah. Capitalistic. She had a capitalistic vagina or something like that.
Oh, and because then, she slept her way to the top?
And then you have people bringing up her job as the DA, right?
Mm-hmm.
She locked up
a whole bunch of black folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For weed and drugs and this, that, and the other. She, truancy.
But once again, that was all expected. I mean, she expected that. I can tell you right now, everything that is being thrown at her, every piece of mud that is being slung, all of this has been discussed and they've come up with strategies to combat. This is not anything that they did not know that was going to happen, because
I would expect that from white people. It's happening.
Why?
Because white people are going to white. But I would not expect that.
Black people are going to black.
And I would not expect that from black people.
I don't understand why you keep saying you never expected that from black people.
Because I didn't.
That is inherent in our history. That is, we have been taught going back to slavery. Once again,
we have been taught
as a people to try to bring the other down. It's in our DNA. That was one of the ways that slave owners kept the slaves docile. That whole, you know,
that's just an irresponsible thing to say. That's in our DNA.
Man, look.
That's in our genetic code. Right.
I say, just like I say, racism is in the DNA of our country. That's what I'm talking about when I say DNA. So it's inherent. That's why we have, you know, we've spoken about colorism. That's why colorism is in full effect in our communities. It's because it's taught. It is something that is learned. And that is something that, you know, that whole paper bag test, that was still going strong in the 60s and the 70s. Hell, in some parts of Louisiana, it's still going strong. This is something, as I said, as a group of people, we were taught to fight against each other. We were not taught as a people to lift each other up. So the people that are going to cut you the most are the people that look like you, because in their heads, it's, once again, why she thinks she better than me.
So this is my question then, is if you had to guess your opinion, your estimation, right? All right. We have Kamala, right?
Kamala.
We have Kamala. That's my whole girl, my home girl. We go way
Kamala.
Back.
Kamala.
She
not a wrestler, but okay.
So we have her, right? She was in the on the short list for VPs. Let's say he chose a white man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what niggas would have been saying? Because I guess bottom line is, no matter what you do, you cannot.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Niggas is gonna be mad at something.
Then it would have been, I can't believe he didn't pick a black woman.
He's a racist, mm-hmm. and yeah, mm-hmm. Kamala Absolutely. Was right when she called him out
Kamala.
On stage.
Mm-hmm.
This,
mm-hmm.
that, and the other. So no matter what you do, niggas not gonna be happy. So it gets to the point
in our DNA once again.
Where, like, I mean, people always wonder why. Not everyone, but people often wonder why our voices are not heard. Why our plights and our grievances are disregarded.
Because we war against each other all the time. No,
not even that. It's because we cannot be taken seriously for the most part. That's how politicians look at
it. Wait, we can't be taken seriously.
Yeah, that's how politicians look at
it. We war against one another. Think about this. And we had a couple of shows ago, we had a discussion about black on black crime.
On how that's a farce and it's just proximity crime, yes.
Right. So I'm saying that and I'm using that because you're talking about politicians and not taking and how they don't take us seriously. Same situation. If I turn around and I start talking, or excuse me, I start denigrating someone in one breath and then the next breath I say, help me. So what we do, and I'm saying we in general, because it is something that we are prone to do, as I said, that whole crab mentality thing. We are learning now to build each other up, but for so long we've been taught to pull each other back. You know, we police ourselves is a form of self-policing. We police ourselves to the point where I don't need you to be an uppity nigger. So in order for me to make sure that you're not an uppity nigger, I need to drag you down a step or two. Like I said,
speaking of uppity niggers, right?
That harkens back to we police each other. We keep ourselves in our place.
Speaking of uppity niggas, I never heard this until recently. The Japanese, right? You remember how they put them in all the intern camps and this?
Uh-huh. Well, I say concentration camps.
Same thing.
Yeah, intern.
They looked at us, especially during the Civil Rights Act, the Japanese looked at us as less than and as stupid. It's like, why can't y'all? And this is a quote from someone that was in one of those camps. He was talking about the error in his thinking, but his thinking was, why can't y'all do like we do and just try to basically assimilate, try to be more like them to make them comfortable, and then they'll stop fucking with you so much. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that was their plan back then, was to be docile, to be. And that's where they get that reputation, how we joke and be like Japanese women and this, that, and the other. But they would sit there, they would take it, they would not say anything. But when the time comes, everyone wants to piggyback off of black people shit. Mm-hmm. Everybody, when we marching for civil rights, mm-hmm. they want to piggyback. Other ethnicities want to piggyback.
Oh, no doubt. So, that's exactly what we talked about in the whole affirmative action thing. You know,
yeah,
like,
basically,
like
yeah.
Right now, speaking of that, right now, who is it? Yale University, the Department of Justice is saying that Yale University discriminated against white and Asian students
to meet their quota or something like that.
Basically, they're saying that they violated the law because they accepted black students when they should not have. And I had I listened to an Asian American did an interview, and she was like, now they're using us, because what they're saying is untrue, but they're using us to make a point against African American people. But I said all that to say, when you're talking about piggybacking off of us, civil rights and what everything that we marched for, everything that our ancestors marched for the most part, as I said in that affirmative action show, benefited a huge swath of people. Not so much us, but benefited Asian Americans, white women, you know, so once again, putting us in our place and keeping us in our place. And we do more to police our own than they ever could.
And what's stupid is, because jumping off of piggyback, and we're going to get into the performative allyship. But what is just like, the Democratic Party to the two-party system, I'm totally against it. Who was it, George Washington, that actually warned us, or Thomas Jefferson, that warned us about the two-party system? And then Abraham Lincoln also warned us about the two-party system. Not only has it caused the collapse of America as we know it, I mean, we can't get shit done in Congress. We can't get shit done in the Senate. And it's like, it's at the point now, with everything being so global, it's going to start affecting the rest of the world. Right now, China. Well, we know that Russians have interfered in our elections. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Russians are also backing Donald Trump, and they're trying to keep him. China, who stayed out of it the first time, now they're
trying to they're interfering as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're trying to get Trump the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden.
So you're right. It's like our two-party system is now affecting the entire world, to where other countries are just as involved, if not more involved, with our election process than the actual citizens are.
See, the thing is, I don't think it's so much that, once again, it's people and
party politics.
The founding fathers, I don't know if they truly anticipated people acting not in the interest of the people that put them in.
They did. That was the exact warning.
Well, see, what? Here's where I am going with it. When you care more about power than constituents, and that is what we are faced with. It's like they know, the Republican Party knows that Donald Trump is not good for this nation, not good for anybody, really. But they want the power that he brings. So, instead of having the courage of their convictions, they're just going to ride it out. And that's the problem. Like, if you truly care about the American system of government and you truly care about democracy, when it works, is a great thing. But where the breakdown comes in, like I said, it's not about the people and how I can help the people. It's about how I can maintain this power that right. I have. So, and
also the people who are voting, party politics, they vote for their party regardless. So here's the two quotes I want to share. This one is from George Washington. However, political parties may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people. So that was Washington. And Lincoln is, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where we stand now is...
Because it's about its power. It is all about power. It is not about the people. As I said, it's all about, I need to maintain power. Because as long as I am in power, the money, power, and respect, it's all about, it really is a head game. Because I have gotten to the point where I'm at this pinnacle. I have so much power. I can do so much stuff. You know, there's a quote that says, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that is the story of the White House and the Congress. That absolute power, I want to maintain it. So I'm going to do anything and everything that I can in order to keep it. And I don't care if I hurt millions of people to do it, as long as I maintain that power.
With power, speaking about power, some of the most powerful people in our political system, for as far back as I know, lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
They are by far, mm-hmm. they are way more powerful than any group of constituents. They Correct. Are way more powerful than any candidate that's running.
Because that's where the money is.
Exactly.
See what I said? So power equals money.
Who, in order to get rid of, I think, public campaign contributions.
Never getting rid of.
Exactly, because both sides benefit from it. So Democrats, they benefit from it. Republicans benefit right. from it. So neither one will step up to the plate and say, we need to get rid of lobbyists. Mm-hmm. We need to. So, again, the downfall, I agree with Abe Lincoln, the downfall of our country is from going within. To be us.
Absolutely. I mean, and that is, you know, going back through history, that's always, and not just the history of our country, the history of anything and everything. You look at how the Roman Empire fell.
They were stretched too thin.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, because they wanted more power.
So, and this just was saying, you niggas ain't never going to be happy, no matter what. It could be Kamala today. It could be Jerome Johnson tomorrow, Jesse Jackson. It don't matter. Niggas ain't never going to be happy. You're going to find some shit to talk shit about, especially when it comes to somebody that looks like us. Instead of talking all this shit, I'm not voting, or I'm voting third party. First of all, third party
is a vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, stay your stupid ass home.
No, don't do that. Because let me tell you something.
No, if you're going to vote for third party, stay your stupid ass home. Because especially during a pandemic.
Man, even that is a vote for Donald Trump. I tried to tell people that.
No, I think you're not hearing me correctly.
What?
If you are going to vote third party, don't bother showing up to the polls. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic. If you're not voting for a viable candidate, don't bother exposing people and making these lines longer.
I get that. But a non-vote is a vote for Donald Trump. I just want y'all to know that. A vote for a third party candidate is a vote for Donald Trump. We saw that in this past election. What I was going to say when you said black people, as far as satisfaction, it is 100% about reprogramming our brains. It really is.
Got to start somewhere.
We honestly have to reprogram ourselves. And that whole reprogramming is about being happy when you see somebody making it.
That looks like you.
Correct. It's like, don't look at them and in your head say, oh, that bitch thinks she too much. Or why he think he got that. He ain't got. Don't do that. And you know what's crazy is? And I'm saying that I'm including myself in that. Because once upon a time, I did stuff like that. So being honest, I did things like that. I would see people and go, they think they all that because they got this and they got that and blah, 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 blah. And then I had to check myself because it's like, wait a minute. Why am I even doing that? Because, you know, you should look at successful people and say, how did they do that? Let me find out and see if I can walk in their footsteps. That is what we should do. But as I said, I had to check myself. And this was when I was way younger. But it was a wake-up call for me because I was like, where does that stem from? And I had to search. I had to come to the realization that I was basically propagating hundreds and hundreds and just hundreds of years worth of programming.
You should check out my new book, How to Self-Hate Safely in the confines of your own home.
And that's the thing. It's all about changing your look, changing your outlook, changing your thought process, being happy for someone who has made it and not trying to bring them down a peg or two. You know, that's our problem. So
niggas ain't never happy. And just
some are. I cannot say that.
Listen,
it's when you
language matters. Niggas ain't never happy.
Dude, I'm gonna need you stop using that pejorative.
Language matters. Niggas ain't never happy.
Man.
So quick example. Allen Iverson, beloved, right?
Oh Lord.
Right? NBA, Allen Iverson, beloved. People like Tim Duncan, just back in the day, sports, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, black people would love to find different ways for them to pick apart. Oh, Kobe fucking with white bitches. And it's like,
once again, it's because we see somebody that looks like us that's successful. We have to bring them down.
But Allen Iverson looked like us, talked like us, walked like us, acted like us. was successful, and we propped him up.
Yeah, but you know why?
Because he was hood. That's why.
Exactly right.
That's why. Because he was hood.
Because in their minds, in our minds, he kept it real. You know, he didn't go to the dark side.
Practice? Yeah. Wait, we talking about practice? Not the game?
You know, look, kept it real. So,
As Paul said, people are treating their vote as if it's a ticket for admission to an event. And that's what's sad. And again, our people. But moving on to the social media fallacies of the intergalactical.
I read an article. All right. And I thought I was the wokest of the woke.
Shit,
man. I'm woke. I stay woke. You know,
sheep.
Not even close, son. I can never. Nobody can ever say that I was a follower. They still say, because I'm not a follower by definition. I've never been. But when I said I thought I was woke, you know, not terminology. I came across something new and I was like, damn, where the hell this came from? I never heard of this particular term. So I presented it to Dan and neither had he. So I'm like, well, damn, let's talk about this. Tell me if y'all have ever heard of it. I'm sure some of you have. I'm more than sure that some of you are like me and had not. I know what an ally is.
An ally?
I had never heard allyship. That was not a word that I was familiar with.
I've heard allyship.
I had not. And then, as I said, reading this article, go further and the word or the term or the phrase performative allyship. And I was like, you know, you think ally, you think, okay, that connotation, that's good because that's somebody who is for you, right? Well, performative allyship has a negative connotation. It is not something that is considered a good thing. And so let me give you the definition of allyship. For those of you who may not have ever heard of the word, allyship is when someone from a non-marginalized group uses their privilege to advocate for a marginalized group. You align yourself with these people in order to make their plight more recognizable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Performative allyship is when someone from a non-marginalized group expresses their support for a marginalized group in a way that is not helpful or may even be harmful to the marginalized group. And in both of these, as I'm reading this article, I'm looking, allyship, it says, often involves risk for the non-marginalized person, right? Performative allyship often, and the article said, often involved or involves reward for the non-marginalized person. So basically, what performative allyship is, someone who talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. You know, for example, someone who is like all gung-ho about gay rights, have every hashtag associated with gay and lesbian, LGBTQ rights on their timeline, everywhere, all over social media. But when they get around their family and their friends and somebody makes a negative remark about someone who is gay or lesbian, non-binary, you know, X, Y, and Z, laughs along. They never stop them. That is someone who would be participating in performative allyship.
So basically, like, the I forget her name, social media influencer, and we all know how I feel about that title alone, but she went out, she rolled up on somebody boarding up some businesses, she got her borrowed a screwdriver, borrowed their nails, like, let me help you with that. So she puts one screw in and she has people all around her filming her like, yeah, she's here to help, and she put that one screw in
and then walk
gave
away.
The dude back. And she was going to post that on social media. However, somebody else recognized her and videoed the whole thing, not just what her cameras wanted to see. They saw her pull up in like a Mercedes or some shit, jump out, say, hey, do you mind if I borrow this for a second? Puts the, and then she got her people taking pictures and video, and one screw gets right back in her car and drives off. So before she had an opportunity to even post that, the person that filmed the entire thing. So then, of course, her page went private. And but there's lots of people like that. Or the Black Lives Matter, showing up to the Black Lives Matter protest.
And that is 100%. That is 100% what the whole, the crux of the article was. People who do it for social media likes, for somebody to pat them on the back. And you know what's funny is that these people who think they are allies and they are wrapped in this performative allyship bubble, it is a way for them to excuse themselves. You know, it's like, okay, I posted this hashtag on social media. Now I can go back and live my life because I did it, you know, pat myself on the back. I did a good deed.
Basically, all of these companies now advertising Black Lives Matter.
Exactly right. And to your point, the article that I was reading, it talked about performative allyship in corporate America. The example that it gave was of a white manager walking up to one of their black employees and saying, and this is something else, say or ask, what would you prefer to be called? Should I be calling you black or African American? And
call me by my fucking name.
So what in the article, the person who was relaying the story said, she told the manager, you know, respectfully, you should be calling any person of color with African origin, African American, and said that the white manager goes, okay, well, you should be happy. I just hired another black woman. So after you asked me if you should be calling me black or African American, I tell you, and then you say, okay.
That sounds like what old boy on the Ellen show said.
What?
Where they were at the party and there was two black employees, both of them had box braids, and the dude walks up and was like, how am I supposed to tell y'all apart now? And then
oh, really?
At the same party, someone else says, I'm sorry, who are you? I only remember the names of our white employees. High really? Level, yeah.
Right, see,
you ain't seen that whole shit going down with Ellen?
Well, see, I know that there was something going on and they were saying how her organization was like a breeding ground for misogyny and
discrimination
and other things. Coming from
a marginalized person, Ellen herself, marginalized.
But from what I was hearing, because I never took the time to actually read anything about it, you know, just brushing my teeth, listening to the news, they were saying it wasn't Ellen herself.
No, it was.
That they were talking about, it was people in her organization.
Certain people. So former employees were airing out what it was like working on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Uh-huh.
Some people did have more problems with the producer. Like, producer, I want to say he was a gay dude. I might be wrong, but he was growing up to dudes, grabbing their dicks. And just, he would whip his dick out just walking
Stop
around.
Stop playing. Psh,
you got it. You got internet. And one was Ellen herself disallowed people from looking her in the eye as she's walking through. These are her employees, work for her, didn't allow them to look her in the eye. If you looked her in the eye, psh, you gone.
Why? Cause what? Like, you?
I don't know.
You're a plebe and you can't look me in the eye?
I don't know. Ellen always seemed phony to me. Just her whole persona, because unlike a lot of people, I remember Ellen from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And the Ellen we're seeing today, you could say growth, but it's just phony.
Yeah. Well,
that bitch. So, yeah, there's a lot of it has to do with just the work environment as a whole. And she would even say to people that this is the best job you're ever going to get. So all this shit, this toxic work environment, you deal with it because this is the best you can do. And they would hire people with little to no experience
to keep them in order to say, yeah, you don't have any experience. Mm-hmm. You don't have any education. You might not have this. It really is the best job you're going to get.
Yeah, pretty much.
So on that note about the performative allyship in corporate America, some more examples they gave, you know, something that the Black Lives George Floyd's death and the resurgence of Black Lives Matter and protests and this social reckoning talked about how you said diversity training and all these other things that corporations do, yet they don't have people of color in leadership roles.
Nope.
Right? It's like you don't have CEOs and presidents and vice presidents and people in the executive suite who look like us, but hashtag Black Lives Matter. And, you know, we as Coca-Cola and Coke actually did something like that during apartheid. You know, they were like, we're behind the people, yet you were still in South Africa oppressing people.
Random trivia. Do you know why Black people like Pepsi more than Coke?
Because of the whole apartheid thing?
Nah, in the U.S. Pepsi was the first cola company to market to Black people, to include Black people in their marketing and advertisements. Coke, for another 20 years after Pepsi started doing that, refused to use Black faces or have any representation of us.
Well, you think about it, because they during that time, they were still in South Africa. They were still a part of that whole apartheid thing. So, man, look. But so, yeah, that's part of. And I learned some new words. Hold up.
Me too. I learned taint, gooch, devil's driveway.
Really?
Something else and something else.
All right. Do you know what virtue signaling is?
Say that again.
Virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling.
Yes.
I can't say I've heard that one before.
Okay. So it is the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue.
Oh, you.
No, it's not me.
You. Okay.
Not at all. So, well, we know what privilege is. And we talked about white fragility. So You remember what the definition of that was?
It's basically a bunch of white people scared niggas gonna take over. Black people gonna take over. And yeah.
It is discomfort and defensiveness on the part of a white person when confronted by information about racial inequality and injustice. So basically, it's the whole, oh, that's not me. I have black friends. You know, that's virtual signaling and white fragility all at the same time.
That should be funny, too. Talking to people like that. And we know someone like that. Talking to people like that, anytime you have to say before making a statement or anything is, you know me. Anytime you have to say that before saying whatever you have to say or, you know, you know how I am. You know, I don't care what color you are. You know, I don't. Like,
I know several people who preface.
Yeah.
Everything they say with that.
It's just like, say what the fuck you got to say. If I know you, you don't have to remind me that I know you.
Just like, I'm not a racist, but, you know, same thing. And something else that, as I was reading the article, it made a good point. And I was like, yeah, you know, we know this, but just to highlight this about performative allyship and why it's, you know, people like, well, what's wrong with that? Here's the thing. You are in a movement and you struggle to be heard. And then you have this white knight, you know, this savior who comes in and says and does the exact same thing that you've been doing for years and years and years. And they get accolades, you know, they get accolades, they get rewards. So, you know, you see them publicly get a pat on the back for something that you've been doing for years and years and years.
That's like old girl from, I mean, it's not really the same, but the whole Rosa Parks situation where Rosa Parks did it once and she was the face of the movement mm-hmm. where there was another young lady that had been doing that for mm-hmm. quite some time.
For, I mean, I can remember Congressman John Lewis. He did that, you know, before the Freedom Rides even happened. You know, him and another person got on a Greyhound bus.
They weren't moving.
You know, did these things before the Freedom Rides started and a whole lot of other things. But what that whole performative allyship, what it connotes is basically, or why it's so bad and it's kind of damaging, is because, as I said, you've been doing something for 15 years trying to be heard. And then somebody steps in who is not of color, do the exact same thing that you've been doing for 15 years and start getting funding.
Alyssa Milano.
With the whole.
Me Too.
True.
Me Too was started by a black woman. And it was kind of quiet under the radar. Alyssa Milano blew it up and she actually got credit for it. And I think at some point she even said, look, no, I didn't. It doesn't matter. They're right, still giving her credit for
correct.
It.
Correct. And then another thing, think about the Kardashians. When she got that lady released from prison.
The drug. Yeah.
It's like who's been talking about prison reform for how long? And it took Kim Kardashian to come through and it was like everybody everywhere was like, Kim Kardashian did this. She went and talked to the president. And she, once again.
One of the few things, I guess, at first I was conflicted about just this in particular, the Kardashian. I was kind of conflicted, but then I thought about it, right? Let's say you have a superpower, no matter what it is. You can use it for good or mm-hmm. you can use it for evil.
Correct.
So in a sense, I just looked at it as it took me a while to get there, but Kim Kardashian using her superpower for good.
See, but I still have a problem with that because, as I said, people have been screaming this, but because I'm poor and black, yeah. you can't hear me. But then somebody rich and white steps up and says the exact same thing that I've been saying for years. It's like, do you know how that makes me feel?
Absolutely. But throughout history, we should actually be used to that shit because that black people should just get, again, going back to piggybacking and this. So let's end with this. Have you seen A Storm Over Brooklyn?
No.
That is something that you need to watch. It is about the 1989 murder of Yusef. Starts with an H. The kid named Yusef, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
89.
His friend comes up to him and was like, yo, there's a used car I want to go look at. It was a response to ad in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the name, the area of New York, but primarily white neighborhood in New York, right? Nobody knew about this area because they had never gone there, so they couldn't get a ride there. They decide to catch a train over to this part. Damn, it's killing me now, the name of it. But they catch a train over there to go look at this car. Soon as they get off the train and start walking, they stop by a little corner store. As they were doing that, there was a group of people having a birthday party for some girl. And the girl broke up with a boyfriend. This is boyfriend story. She told me that she was going to invite some black guys over here to come fight us and see how tough we were. So they show up at the corner store. Same day that these kids are coming to look at a car, had nothing to do with each other. showed up with bats and a gun, right? So it's like, oh, these must be the guys that she sent over here to beat us up. So before they can like start beating these kids, dude pulls out a gun, boom, shoots Yusef, one of the kids. He was like, what, 17 years old or something?
Wait, so one of the white guys in the mob pulls out a gun and shoots him.
And shoots him. And this is where Al Sharpton kind of gets thrown into the public spotlight. He had just lost some sort of case or something. There was a rape case or something that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this was right after that. The father of Yusef was like, the media was at the house, like, who would you like to speak on behalf of your family? So he said, Al Sharpton. So Al Sharpton shows up. And next thing you know, you got the Muslims out there. You got Al Sharpton and his people out there. You got Minister Farrakhan out there. And they were marching through these neighborhoods. Same neighborhoods that when there was no marching, they went through with the news cameras. And they're like, oh, we're not racist. We're not racist. It was just a misunderstanding. You know, we just need to forget about it. We need to forget about it because the more you dwell on it, you know, it had nothing to do with race. It was a misunderstanding. So they do the marches through there. These motherfuckers come out there. Hey, you niggers, you need to get out of our neighborhood. Like yelling at them. They got watermelons and chickens and shit. And again, mind you, they're not racist. All kinds of racial slurs. Al Sharpton's life was like threatened. Man, check it out. It's called A Storm Over Brooklyn. And it is.
It's on Netflix?
It's on HBO. And it is an important part of New York's history. The mob actually had to get involved because these marches was a mob neighborhood. These marches were coming through here and affecting mob business.
Of course, it was so bringing too much heat.
The dude, mm-hmm. Sammy the Bull, I'm sure you heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, look, who did it? He's like, the kid did it. He fled town and they're not going to find him. No. You're going to go find them and you're going to hand them over to the police. So that's essentially how it got solved, was the mob did a better job than the New York Police Department. And only because
the New York Police Department was like another dead nigga.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, that shit. And they painted the mayor to look bad because while black people were outraged, again, this can go back to Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, and any other candidate, that while black people were outraged, mayor candidate got up there and was like, I want to restore the peace. I want to, you know, make sure we all get along and this and that. Black people weren't trying to hear that shit.
Right.
Like, yo, this is not the first, second, third, another one. So,
and definitely. Here it is, 2020. That happened same in 1989. Thing. And here it is, 2020, another one.
Same thing. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, another episode, Black Law and Legalize. Remember, my book, it is How to Self-Aid Safely Within the Confines of Your Own Home. Keep up with me on IG and on Twitter. I am Dan on Drugs. Show, all platforms, Black Law Podcast.
And now I'm just Dan, and you can keep up with me at I Tell Legal Lies on Twitter. Keep up with Sipping with Storm, Facebook, and IG. Really good, y'all.